Not one of those podcasts.
Dad's Movie Night brought to you by Shake Weight. Do you need to lose weight? This won't do it. Shake Weight.
Hey there, movie fans. Pete here.
Starting off strong for the new year. Here's Brian.
And Shake Weight Neil.
Oh, that's how you got that nickname.
It is. What are you guys doing? I've got a giggle fit.
Well, we're just three dads navigating the films of our youth, wondering whether or not they'll hold up for three very important questions. Pete?
Question number one is that you just answered. Does the movie hold up?
Indeed. I'm glad you're paying attention. Just like our listeners.
Question number two
is...
Neil, it's your favorite one that you always forget.
He doesn't always forget.
Should the movie be remade, rebooted, recycled, or removed from the earth?
I like it. And question number three, Brian?
Should we have our children watch it as a reward or punishment?
As we learned last week, Neil's choice in movies is pristine and perfect.
Oh, thank you. It was.
What was that robot movie that we watched? About the wasteland that did have the coolest character I've ever seen in a movie for like the first 5 minutes.
Dr. Strangelove. That's the name of the movie you're thinking of. Dr. Strangelove.
Well, Brian,
again, this record is pristine.
Yeah, yep. You know, tonight we have Brian's follow-up to Prayer for the Roller Boys.
That's true. Yeah, the intro was all lies. This is not from my youth. It's from his youth.
Yeah, this is me. Yeah. This is my fault
this
tonight.
Tonight is something Brian has been encouraging us to consider.
Well, since I remembered what movie it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
The question is, was it a repressed memory?
So, this movie I watched randomly.
Where did the movie touch you?
It touched me in the kitchen.
Deeply.
It was on like the little TV we had in the kitchen.
Point to the shake weight.
And... Oh, he looks spare change. And...
Oh, my God.
And I remember, like, that it was a fantasy movie about a boy who was with some, like, foster parents, and they were awful, and then he got magically whisked away because it turns out that was this Harry Potter? Is this proto-Harry
Potter?
You're
not really my stepdad.
So it's a boy who went to a happy place.
Pretty much, and it's called Mio and the Land of Faraway.
The Land of Faraway.
That place, too. And the problem is that I never learned the title of this movie. So I saw it. I remember key snippets, but had nothing. And for years, it keeps cropping up. And I'm like, and finally, in looking for movies to watch and like recommended movies, somehow I stumbled across this title.
It must have been when you went down and decided to watch every Christian Bale movie.
I mean, don't kink shame me.
I'm not. I'm just saying that must have been.
The man is a treasure. Like, he has been both Batman and a newsie.
Yeah. He was. And a prisoner of war in a Japanese internment camp.
And he also was a psychopath on that movie set. I think it was Batman. But he also played American Psycho.
Ah, that one. That's true.
Bad Psycho.
Yes.
Wasn't the machinist when he became like incredibly rail thin?
Yes, yep. It was. You're right.
That was like dangerously thin.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Yes. And this gem that no one ever brings up. So
because no one can remember the name.
Exactly.
Mio.
I still can't remember it. You just said it.
I want to say Milo.
But it's not. It's Mio.
It's Mio. Like those little juice things.
Yeah, it makes your water better.
Yeah.
That's a movie night.
What do you remember about... I've never even heard of this movie.
So, again, like this is literally dredged up from my childhood. And what I remember is a boy, there's a scene where like he's at the foster home and they're eating cream of wheat, and the step or the foster dad mentions that the lumpy parts are the best. If he doesn't want to eat them, then he can just leave them behind and like he'll eat them or something like that.
Disgusting.
And then so creepy. something, he ends up in another world.
Yada yada yada.
There's a crow with like a golden heart, something with crows, yada yada. There's a scary black knight, as I believe played by Christopher Lee. And then he has a buddy in this, like, fantasy world. So, and, like, another boy, like, a boy his age, like a best friend.
I get the impression this is a very famous story, because it's a Swedish story. It's what was the author of this story also did?
Pippi Longstockings.
Pippi Longstockings.
Ah, yes. Indeed. The Adventures of Pippi Longstockings.
We did our homework.
Because we were confused. And scared.
Mostly scared.
I'm not scared.
No, you're Brian.
I grew up with Daryl. Yeah. That's right.
You know, moment of silence for Daryl.
Everyone in my family says, Brian, you have such terrible taste in movies. And I'm like, you know what? This is all your all fault for, like, making me watch all these movies that, like, I've become, you know, armored to terrible things. I will find, like, a glint of something positive in just about every movie.
It's basically the same way that my parents have browbeaten me into having zero palate. Whenever food was put in my face, I ate it. And I said, it is delicious. And I ate all of it and did not complain. And now when family members, like my wife, cook meals for me.
Safe space.
How was it? Like, it's great. Like, no, it's terrible. And it might be terrible. I just have no idea.
I honestly don't know. Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm living the dream, man.
You like, are.
What a great superpower. All food is fine.
This is fine.
Yeah.
This is great. So you guys know what we're going to do. We are going to go get ourselves some scotch. Mm. We're going to go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
And we're going to go watch Christian Bale
in
A Land of Far Away.
In Mio.
We're going to watch Mio.
Christopher Lee.
To be fair, the bar is so low. we might be pleasantly surprised, right?
That's the spirit.
Oh, where can we watch this movie, Pete?
If people want to follow along?
So, could you possibly watch this on the HBO Max?
Wrong.
How about Hulu?
No.
Okay, how about Amazon Prime?
Tried it, not there.
Netflix?
Closer.
How about Disney?
Getting closer.
How about Apple TV?
Yeah.
How about a Soviet website in eastern Albania?
Should I just tell you?
Yes, please.
It's YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we found it for free.
Touche.
So. Not like a YouTube rental. It's just like some guy uploaded it.
Just, it's there.
And it's been there for 5 years, and no one seems to care.
No one's willing to claim copyright.
No one's...
Hands off.
I don't know if that's scaring me more than anything else. There's no copyright infringement on
maybe
this.
Maybe like some great works of art that it is now considered timeless and just to be enjoyed by all.
Yes, it is.
It's a public service announcement.
It's a public domain now.
Yeah. That's not how this works.
Hey, Mickey Mouse is usable now.
Only Steamboat Willie.
That's the only one I care about.
All right, then. Let's go get some scotch, guys. We'll see you in a few minutes, all right? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Mio!
Finishing my Skittles. Just give me 1 second.
Clearly, you take all the time in the world.
No, I'm good. You guys get started.
Clearly, you have your priorities.
Well, by the time that this night is over, we'll be nothing but bone.
Or stone?
Bone.
He turned into bone?
Because somehow either the nights in that tower last a terribly long time, or it saps all your energy in one night.
It's both.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like we just watched, like, Lord of the Rings extended cut. All three.
If you took out, like, all
in a certain light. I know what you mean, but you might have to explain yourself to the people that didn't just watch this movie.
You mean to tell me that people listening to this didn't watch this movie alongside us?
I can't believe they would do that to us. That would be...
They don't get paid the dollars that we do to stick it out.
Plural?
Well, when you cut a dollar up into pieces...
You got plural dollars?
Well, we each have 33 cents.
I'm going to reinvest it, Pete. Come on.
Put it back into the show. Oh, my goodness. That was an experience. Thank you, Brian, for showing me things I didn't even know I could see.
50,000 people have watched this over the last 3 years.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Or at least a bot has shown, has like hit play on it once.
I wonder what, like, sweet mistake someone made to, like, actively watch this movie on YouTube. Like, oh, wow, this whole movie is on here.
You know what I want to do today is watch the whole thing.
No, you know what it was? Is like, you remember that movie where Christopher Lee is molesting the toad? Shut up. Oh, I will prove it to you.
Not only that, but...
Buckle up.
Hold on a second.
Sensually rubbing it with a feather.
I'm not going to lie. That was worth the entire cost of admission. I will happily watch weird Christopher Lee stroke a toad with a feather.
For free.
For an hour and 45 minutes.
That would have been a better movie than
with
this.
With no reasoning whatsoever. Like, that's how they just cut to
Christopher
that.
Christopher Lee's acting in this was superb.
Shocking. Not at all.
He...
had no clue what was going on, and he clearly conveyed that to everyone. Just be menacing.
He did this. He did the whole. His whole part of the movie was done in 2 days.
Yes,
100%.
The whole movie took place over 2 days.
Barely 2 days. I think it might have been like 20 hours.
Oh my goodness.
For the record, there is a scene in the movie, folks, if you haven't watched, where like they come upon.
Oh, they've watched it.
But there might be someone who hasn't. Where we open to a feather stroking the back of a toad on a dinner plate at a table.
A live toad, a big fat toad.
And Christopher Lee is just staring menacingly as he strokes this toad with a feather.
In this movie, I didn't expect Christopher Lee to look like that. It didn't look like Christopher Lee. Like, it's not Saruman.
He looked like the live-action version of his character in The Last Unicorn, the king.
Yes.
He looks like a fantasy version of Max Schreck from Batman Returns.
Yes! Keep going. Don't stop.
He looks like Christopher Lloyd if Christopher Lloyd did crack.
This is beautiful.
That's
well,
three.
Well done, Brian. Like, I'm not going to push you anymore.
I know. That was
the tank is empty.
So everyone, you now know what Christopher looked like.
This movie was... I'm in a little bit of pain.
Yeah, we're going to need... Will two sentences heal you right up?
Yeah, two sentences will definitely heal me right up.
Set you straight?
Yeah, sure. Do you guys want to go... Neil, go for it.
Oh, boy.
If you need a little time, I'll go first.
I want to say in a world, but I also don't want to steal your thunder.
No, by all means, you steal Let's away. See. No, go for it.
In a world where a boy lives with his horrible aunt, he runs away to an alley where an old man says, "Tug on my beard hairs." And he goes far away and never comes home again.
That is accurate. Everything you just said is pretty much how this movie kicked off.
Finn. It's a metaphor.
Oh boy.
That's all I got, guys.
A lot of dead kids.
Honestly,
in this movie.
that was pretty fucking awesome. I'm not gonna lie.
Let's see, Mio in the Land of Faraway. So it's about a boy who lives with a terrible aunt uncle. Who are so mean to him that he decides to find his real dad somewhere out in the snow, and then after some magic apple genie beard goodness, spends a day in the Land of Faraway fighting all sorts of creatures with his best friend who just happened to be there too.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder, nice.
This is 100% that kid's
You've
dead.
You've seen
in
that
the
movie?
No, but I know how it ends.
We need to watch that movie.
I don't know.
No, you're not going to feel good about yourself at the end.
I don't feel good about myself about this movie.
Well, hence, we should watch that movie. Don't forget, Brian, this was your fault.
I know. I regret nothing.
Well, you don't?
I don't.
I regret a lot of this.
We're doing this so others don't have to.
This is nowhere near the bottom of the barrel.
You need me on that wall.
No, it's not. It's not the bottom of the barrel. No, I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
No, the barrel is deep.
This could have been... Anyways, Pete, you're two sentences.
I'm trying to talk about how delaying. I'm delaying my tactic here.
Yeah, pull that taffy.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of time that it takes for us to do ten synopsis, he's already cleared the mystery forest, had a sword forged, and somehow already knows where to go.
So, in a world called Sweden, lived a boy who didn't like his aunt and uncle. So he left and went far away and did things that made absolutely no sense. And there was a weird dancing horse and birds that would turn into dead children. And then he would find his father, and his father would say, "I love you and I miss you. Okay, Dad, so I'm leaving and gonna go kill the bad guy." And the bad guy said, "You defeated me, and now I'm dead, and now I'm turned to stone. And now you can act, but you really can't act because this script is awesome. But you're really dead." The end.
Finn.
It's Spoilers.
So they don't have to, Neil.
The biggest thing that we kept coming back to about this movie
was... They didn't blink.
Like, there were 8 blinks in the whole movie. And two...
There were less blinks than Arnold Schwarzenegger's lines in Conan the Barbarian.
Also true. Is that... This felt like one of our kids wrote a fantasy story, and we had to sit down... And they worked hard. They worked hard to write this. Like, there were drafts, rewrites, but they... Final draft, they were had us all sit down, and then they read it to us. Because there's a story, the bones are there, but it is told and just delivered awkwardly.
Imagine listening to a very, very long-winded story by your child, poorly written in simple sentences that unfortunately can't be completed in less than an hour and 45 minutes.
Yep.
And then I did not like the person over there, so you and I should go and fight the bad guy with a sword.
Well, you gotta go to the forger of swords, though.
Right.
To get that sword.
And he's been building swords for 1,000 years.
I will say that it makes me want to go back and read the original book. I don't know Astrid Lundgren that well, but she is a very well-known Swedish author. I mean, she is not our children.
No.
And I wonder how much was really lost in translation, and just, or maybe just didn't come out the way they hoped or something.
I think that's the biggest thing. I kept saying this, like, no, this is classic. This is the Neverending Story. This is a very classic fairy tale. You know, where the girl you have one page of the girl traveling through the woods, and then you have one page of her stumbling upon a castle, one page of her defeating the ogre, and then Finn. It's just 5 pages. It covers everything that takes place over a period of time. Somehow, in this movie, they decided to, one, let the children do all the acting, and two, that they were just going to keep that timeline where he never once was surprised with anything. He grabs the beard of a spirit and was like, off I go. Wow, I'm here. You know, I've always known. I've just found out about this place. I need to go there now. Bye-bye, Papa.
Yes, Neil. I think the story itself is probably delightful. But often, as is foretold by prophecy, is when you convert book to film, it sucks.
Lord of the Rings.
Except.
And I didn't say that Princess to disagree Bride. With you, but I think it's part of like the confusion and the feelings of why is this not hitting right while we were watching it. We had a lot of that.
There was a lot of just like, I know there's something that could be in here that is a child's story that could be awesome. And, you know, you take Princess Bride, for example. It's a very similar story in the sense that it's a child story, it's a kid's story, and the way it comes across is earnest and innocent and hopeful, and this was innocent and earnest and hopeful, but somehow just like season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Well, again, I think the problem is because in watching it, it's almost like kids doing a school play or kids like playing a game. Okay, so now I'm in the land away, and I need a sword. I'll go over here and go to the sword maker. I have a sword, but I got to cut down the bad guy first. I cut the bad guy right through his heart, and it frees the children. Like, it's this free-form play that the kids are doing where nothing really makes sense, and the child Mio is at no point ever reactive because... Like, it's just, and there I am, and then I did this, and then this, and then this, and then this.
It's kind of like when your kids are telling you, like, what part to act out in the play that they're inventing as you go, and then you do this.
Yeah.
And then, Dad, you come over here, and you kneel down beside me, and you say, I'm going to capture you. Okay, I'm going to capture you. No, I don't, no, you don't say it like that. You say it a different way. So, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Did this movie hold up for you?
Oh, no. No. This,
oh, no.
No, so I...
Just checking. Just wanted to know.
This movie, I love the story. Like, I agree with you, Neil. I want to read the original story. I want to find it and just figure out what was going on. But I don't ever want to watch this again. It was... so, like, there were parts... everything Christopher Lee did, great. Everything the Forge of Swords did, phenomenal. The old man beating off the rug... cool, you know, but that's like 5 minutes in an hour
that
and 44
minutes.
That
was the same guy that was in the cave.
Yeah, the hungry dude.
The hungry dude in the cave was the same guy that beat the rug, yeah. The rug beater.
Yeah. Well, there was that disturbing undertone that if you really get into the story and want to spend your gray cells that way, it's super depressing. Like,
yeah.
Like there is no way this kid... either survived or didn't end up like on crack in an alleyway in Stockholm.
Yeah, this story written from a news report was child found dead in an alleyway in the snow in Sweden today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the expert, but it seemed like a crime scene.
Well, I'm going to say, like, if you want a depressing story that is this story, but anyway, just read the Little Match Girl, little fairy tale. Because yeah. It ends with a dead kid freezing in the cold. So yeah. It's just this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you want to see this movie remade? Rebooted? Recycled? Removed?
Well, I think the correct answer is I would like to read the book, and then I would assume the answer is yes. It could easily be redone.
In fact, if you include that nobody wants this movie, I feel like you could just make this movie... and no one would know that you had stolen it from
right.
this 1987 right. film.
I think that the child actors were not able to carry this movie. So I don't know if that's the direction to go with the remake or the reboot.
I feel like
so
you
what would you do? Just slightly older kids? Mid-teenage?
Do a Percy Jackson
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Like a Percy Jackson
thing. Saved by the Bell. Yeah. They were. They
so
couldn't
20?
Do it. Yeah.
Exactly. Ralph Macchio, 31 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to be honest, I feel like Ralph Macchio could have been in this movie as a young boy, and it would have been much better. Well, and that's something, too, is I do wonder about child labor laws. Like, when we said that Chernobyl happened during this, like, maybe there were events and things that sort of hamstrung them right from the get-go.
You think this was like NAMM? There were no rules?
There were no rules, man. They just...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could have been.
But I'm with you. I would love to see this. I think the bones are there, just... do it
who
better.
Would you play have as Christopher Lee's character?
Kato.
Who would you have play Kato?
Christopher Walken?
Well, I think it depends which way you go with it. I mean, you could go the like the Seth Rogen, like when they're playing the pan flute, it actually is crack pipes in the real world they're doing, and just go totally bonkers. Or you could do the
Pineapple Express it?
Or you could do the cold, hard old-fashioned fairy tale version.
Or you could kind of do the classic fairy tale version, but it's the set piece is in the modern world. So it's like there's the fantasy world that's kind of like overlaid onto
the Pan's
kind of
like Labyrinth thing.
Yeah,
Pan's Labyrinth.
I think it could work either way, actually. But it probably really depends on which way you go when you talk
and
about
who
which
you get to,
what actors
to
and
do
yeah.
I wouldn't. Who would you get to play as the bad guy, though? Like, I'm just thinking of like actors out there that I.
Well, I feel like it should be someone older because he's supposed to be like an old man, like this evil.
See, I'm not sure about that. I'm thinking that you could go with a younger actor that you know he may be old, but you know time doesn't seem to have an effect on him, or maybe some you know honestly.
Paul Rudd.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, if you go like the Seth Rogen ridiculous route, you could get Mel Gibson to do it. But
if you go I was weirdly thinking Mel Gibson on that. Maybe it's, today's his birthday, isn't it, or something, or yesterday?
Is it really?
Yeah, he's 68 now.
If you go the serious route, I don't know. I'm torn. I'm very conflicted about all of this stuff. But
very conflicted.
But like we say, when you describe the fun parts of the movie and the stuff you liked, we were saying, that sounds super cool. We should be enjoying this a lot more than we are.
Right. Yeah. I think it's because the kids are not pleasant. They're not good actors. They're not interesting characters. There's nothing you care
Christian
about.
Christian Bale tried. He was pretty good. He just didn't have a lot to work with.
I think a lot of the movie crew didn't speak English, and they just had bad direction in general in mind, and it just didn't.
Yeah. Well, Lost in Translation comes to mind quite a bit here.
You know what, though? I'm hitting a blank on who I want, because I'm trying to think of a menacing old actor, and I can't seem to think of one.
Yeah, like... I don't know. I could probably see...
Jason Statham, actually, because he's not young.
Jason Statham would...
And you know, he's doing a movie called The Beekeeper. So...
Oh, would you go with someone like Arnold?
Dolph Lundgren?
Dolph Lundgren?
I almost was going to say Dolph Lundgren, but I feel like he may not have the acting chops.
I keep going back to the ridiculous crackpipe pan flute version, I think.
I think that might be the way to go.
Just you know, live your truth. You know, just...
it's unavoidable because they keep this kid's so delusional and his life sucks and he's like, I'm going away forever and see, I told you it would be okay.
And well, I'm really not dead.
And then you made the point that like this does happen where he's like, I wish my friend was here. Ta-da! Who are you? You're my friend. That's not my name. I'm Yum Yum. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish Yum Yum was coming. Hey, I'm here too and I brought food and a cloak.
And even though it is a fantasy world, it always seemed like it was his delusional, psychotic, sort of like cracking,
you know. I could see like Fassbender doing a menacing Kato.
There are probably a lot of people that could do it. They're not going to be like Christopher Lee.
Oh,
no.
Who was the actor who played Malfoy's father in the Harry Potter movies?
Oh, is the Australian guy?
Yes.
I know who you're talking about. Yes. He was the bad guy in The Patriot?
Yes.
Yeah, that guy.
Thank you. Yeah, that I think would be
okay.
You know, I think he could be menacing and
there are a lot of
Andy Serkis
and chew the scenery. Oh, and maybe no, he should be the forger of swords.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. That's all I got for
it. So there is a good story here. It is salvageable. And this has been dead long enough that, like, I feel like someone should sift through this rubble and resurrect this. Because, I mean, look at all the reboots we're getting, all the sequels. This is just waiting for someone to steal it.
There's a lot of mythos that you could explore in that universe, I guess. Like, it comes back to what you're saying before. We have to read the story.
Oh, that's a good point, too, this universe. They mentioned that this is like three islands, and they're on the Green Island, and they have to pull up the bridge every night to protect themselves from the dead forest and the black night Quado. And
Quaid.
So there's all. I think that's part of it is that there is clearly this other world. So it's like, why do they travel by beard through space? Like, what is going on? All these things, and they
it's the most
never
efficient way to travel.
They
Come
never
on.
Once stop to explain what's. So we have nothing to hold on to. The movie just slips away.
They didn't mention nothing about the other, like the third island. It's just like there's the two places they go, and then the longest bridge in the world.
It's 40 feet.
The jump. Look at him jump. Straight. No, that's not working.
Oh, and why did that lady, like, and who was the shopkeeper who started the whole thing? Like, who was she?
And then, oh, right. They gave him the letter.
I can understand in a fairy tale, he meets that woman who's like, oh, I weave dreams. Here, I made a cloak of dreams for you. Yeah. Because, you know, that happens in fairy tales. You meet a kind little woman who makes her cloak of dreams. Yeah. Cool.
It's called child trafficking.
Yeah, I kind of, that's why I think...
Here, grab onto my beard.
It would be great if it was a crack pipe and just some, like, old crazy lady gave him, like, a dirty sweater because he was cold. And in his delusion, he's like, I have a cloak of dreams!
He sprang off
and just... You see, like, this old lady going, Jesus.
yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, when in the Freddy Krueger movies where he's giving the guy the bad dreams and he makes him just walk out the window and kill himself. I'm like... This kid is just having the worst dream of all time.
See, I was thinking it was more like Lisa Simpson when she drank the water, like the water ride water or something like that from that weird Disneyland park.
And I was thinking Eric the Viking and the Cloak of Invisibility only worked on, like, his dad.
Actually, to tell you the full truth, the thing I was thinking about was when they rebooted Beavis and Butthead and the sexy vampire movies were out and they want to do that too, so they go to an alleyway. And they think they see a werewolf, which is just a dirty homeless guy. and he bites them and gives them like all these STIs, and they're like, "We're sexy vampires now."
this Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Did they have a new movie?
They rebooted for the TV show, and that was the first episode. You should watch it.
I really need to watch that. Well, I saw one where they thought they went time traveling because they fell down an embankment.
They're a Beavis and Butthead episode.
All right, so that's it.
I mean, that's the rest of the podcast is just talking about Beavis and Butthead.
It all makes sense now. So I have a pretty good idea how I'm going to answer question three.
No.
Do you guys have any thoughts?
My kids don't need to watch this. They would watch it because it would be like, again, they're just excited to watch TV and eat dinner in front of the TV. But I think they would really not care about this movie. But well, they might also be entertained enough because it is very kid-oriented.
Well, this is... I would punish my children by forcing them to sit down. However, the punishment would be a whole switcheroo on me because they'd force me to sit with them and then fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
This is how that would roll.
Yeah.
It would be like, this movie is so fucking bad, I can't stand it. And the kids are like, "No, Daddy, sit with me. This is awesome. Can we watch it again tomorrow?" Fuck my life.
Yeah, you know. And to be fair, again, this came out in 1987. I was 5. So by the time I saw it on TV,
same year that Princess Bride came out, man.
And yeah, like I probably watched it like, that movie's great. This movie's great too. But their target audience is probably like it went straight to VHS. 6-year-old
Brian.
And it was like.
That's the target audience.
You know, it looked like it's like, oh, it's magical land. You know, it's adventure. There's swords. There's a black knight. Yeah, cool. Rent it for $2. And, you know.
Yeah.
Kids liked it because whatever.
And now you don't even have to do that.
That's true. It is just on YouTube. Maybe my kids will find it anyway. But I guess the one thing I'd still want to know is in the reboot, do we put the oatmeal scene back in?
Right. We didn't mention the oatmeal, so I thought I was going to sneak out. So that never happened. I don't know what.
No,
like,
it didn't.
Maybe that was something different. Was that a different
definitely
movie?
Not in this movie.
Or maybe I saw that, thought it was this movie, and then was woefully disappointed when that never happened.
You had a very specific memory of a scene.
Yeah. So what was up? Like, I'm going to have to do... listeners, please, if you can tell me...
This is when he watched it on, you know, like, Saturday morning cartoons, and mom and dad came in and, like, randomly, or your brother, sat on the remote and switched the channel
and
to,
I
like, Cream
know.
Of Wheat commercial. And the commercial of Cream of Wheat was like, the lumpy parts are the best part, and I'll eat it if you don't want to. Click back over to Land of Far Away.
Yeah, grab onto my beard.
You're like, wow, man, Cream of Wheat looks shitty. Because I remember I saw the commercial. I'm like, Cream of Wheat looks gross. I'm never going to eat it. I have not ever had Cream of Wheat.
Now, I think you have to try it now that I'm you know it wasn't in the movie.
If anybody hearing this knows about a movie where a guy's weird foster dad or whatever talks about lumpy Cream of Wheat, and he puts it in a plastic bag and like writes a name on it and puts it in the fridge.
This is even more specific than
I know. I'm uncovering more and more the longer
and, like,
I think
about
it.
You're the movie buff, Neil. Like, you should know this.
I don't watch those kinds of movies.
There are dark places that only I dare to tread.
And you share them with us.
I stay on American YouTube, thank you very much.
I have a VPN, so I get access to all the weird Soviet stuff.
That Chernobyl YouTube goodness.
Chernobyl vision?
Oh, bring a Geiger counter with you. Oh my god, that's fucking awesome.
Well... Ooh, I'm glad to have locked this, guys, with you and gone on this journey.
I'm glad you were here guiding us through this, my friend. So what are we going to do next?
Well, after this, there was a movie I thought we were going to pull as an audible, but we went here, so I feel like we got
to
go.
Wait, was it you that wanted to pull an audible? What were you thinking?
Oh, I do have one in mind.
Got nowhere to go but
up. I have to make sure that this was not done in the very early days of the podcast. And if it wasn't, then I have a good one. You want me to tell you right now?
Yes.
Have we ever done The Burbs?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's on the list.
Okay. It is. And I remember The Burbs.
I remember it too.
Tom I remember Hanks. Watching it in high school or something like that. I was like, well, this is weird.
Corey Feldman, Bruce Dern,
Tom Hanks.
What was the one that I was saying that I wanted to do? It wasn't Munchausen. It was a different one. Mm. Not Life Force, don't worry.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're not ready.
But I feel like The Burbs might be a good
palate cleanser.
Yeah, like it's a good pivot.
Is that how we find our way back home?
There's only one way to find out. I'm never coming home, Neil. I'm going to stay here with my dad in the land of far away.
Though I dare you gentlemen to try to use like, hey, baby, do you want to hop on my beard and travel the land of far, far away for a magical adventure?
Well, I'm going to make $100 the easy way and make some Christopher Lee frog toad stroking bets.
That's true. What do you think of the weirdest thing Christopher Lee's ever did? I bet you I can top it.
Honestly, though, there might be something else even weirder that he's done.
We got to address, though, because this is the most disturbing thing. The whole movie is whatever. At the end, the choice they made to show that he has now killed the Black Knight and all the cursed children who were turned into birds are now turned into humans, and of all the ways they can show that the children are now transformed back to human, they go to the seagull that sacrificed itself.
Flaming sacrifice. A burnt offering.
And again, it was kind of cool because there were the guards with the torches who were going to spot the two boys, and then a seagull flies out of nowhere and knocks into the torch, sets itself on fire, but knocks the torch away so the boys can sneak around. Cool story point. We get to see that burnt seagull turn into a dead child.
Yeah.
I did it. I broke the magic spell. Dead child.
You know, there was so much potential in these moments that you talk about where, you know, the forest hides them, right? And how does the forest hide them? Pulls them into this one tree that all the bad guy spies, are, like, running around the street like, oh, don't search there. But it doesn't... I'm sure when they were writing the story, when it's written, it's awesome, and you're imagining it, and like, oh my god, they're right there. But the way that they did it here was just dumb.
Well, in real life, those were the police trying to help them, and some old man pulled them into his crack.
Fair. Or no, they were going through, like, some dumpsters or whatever, and they found some garbage cans, and, like, they just slithered behind the garbage cans, and, like... See, the forest is hiding us, and the cops
meth
are just
is a hell of a drug.
Are not really looking all that hard. They weren't even cops. They just saw some flashing lights from, like, you know, from some, like, ambulance or something like that. Thought it was the cops and really hid in the magical forest of mystery.
Uh-huh. I smoke rocks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. Uh-huh. Oh, man. Well, guys, I have had a wonderful time.
As always,
send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com or check us out on Facebook. Let us know what movie you want us to watch next. That would always be kind of cool. We'd love to do a shout-out viewing, which we've done in the past. Cool beans.
All right.
Any parting words?
It was fun, as always. It gave us a lot to talk about.
It definitely...
I mean, yeah, if it was a great movie, we'd be like, oh, that was amazing. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, nope. High fives all around. Yeah. That was not tonight.
Nope. This was made me question a lot of things about myself.
It explains a lot of the ways I turned out.
Really does.
In Spain.
Still the cream of wheat thing, man. We've opened up a quagmire.
God, that's one mystery. I really thought I had this locked down. Nope. Now there's a loose thread that I'm going to tug in until my entire shirt unravels.
It's deeper and darker than we ever imagined.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. So you guys do this. I'm done.
Cream of wheat, man. It's lumpy. It's supposed to be lumpy.
If you don't eat the lumpy parts, I will. Put them in my plastic bag.
Yeah. I swear I put the kid's name on it. There were other bags of, like, chunky cream of wheat in there.
Fuck.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I guess.